Today, the under-insurance crisis. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In our household surveys, we have information about households' property and possessions insurance. There is a significant proportion of households living, particularly in regional areas, without a mortgage who choose not to insure because the costs are so high. And there is a second group who holds some building insurance cover but may well be underinsured. So I read with interest the article in The Conversation today. They make the point that the current bushfire crisis will affect local communities for years, if not permanently, due to a national crisis of underinsurance. They argue that despite Victoria's Black Saturday fires and the Ash Wednesday fires, both of which destroyed thousands of homes, one lesson was not really learnt. And it's that home insurance is rarely sufficient to enable recovery. The evidence is that many people losing their homes will find themselves unable to rebuild due to lack of insurance. The academics interviewed households hit by the October 2013 Blue Mountains fires, in which almost 200 homes were destroyed. They found that despite past disasters, more than 65% of households affected were underinsured. And research published by the Victorian government in 2017, meanwhile, estimated that just 46% of Victorian households have enough insurance to recover from a disaster, with 28% underinsured and 26% having no insurance. The consequences aren't just personal. They potentially harm local communities permanently, as those unable to rebuild move away. Communities lose the vital knowledge and social networks that make them resilient to disaster. So why do people find themselves underinsured? Well, it's a complicated issue and not necessarily due to negligence. They cite the case of a woman who lost her home in Kinglake, northeast of Melbourne, in the 2009 fires. She based her insurance on the price paid for the property, but the reinstatement costs were much higher. Building is often more expensive. For one thing, there's the need to comply with new building codes, which have been improved to ensure buildings take into account their potential exposure to bushfires. This is likely to increase costs by 20% or more, but is rarely made clear to insurance customers. And by the way, in a future post, I'm going to discuss in more detail the BAL, the bushfire attack level, which was introduced in 2009. There seems to be quite a lot of confusion around these ratings, and not everybody is aware of their implications. Construction costs also often spike following disasters due to extra demand for building services and materials. A further contributing factor is that banks can claim insurance payments to pay off mortgages, meaning the only way to rebuild is by taking out another mortgage. This meant once banks were paid, people had nothing left to restart. In rural areas, there is often a shortage of rental properties. Insurance companies generally only cover rent for 12 months, which is not enough time to rebuild. For families forced to relocate, moving back can feel disruptive to their recovery. And so the Conversation article says that underinsurance significantly increases the chances those who lose their homes will move away and never return, hampering social recovery and resilience. Residents that cannot afford to rebuild will sell their property, with tree changers the most likely buyers. Communities not only lose residents with local knowledge and important skills, but also social cohesion. And research in both Australia and the United States suggests that this can leave communities less prepared for future disasters. This is because a sense of community is vital to individuals' willingness and ability to prepare for and act in a threat situation. A confidence that others will weigh in to help, in turn, increases people's confidence and ability to prepare and act. and they make the point that Australia is one of the few wealthy countries that heavily relies on insurance markets for recovery from disasters. But the evidence suggests that this is an increasingly fraught strategy, particularly when rural communities also have to cope with the reality of more intense and frequent extreme weather events. And of course, future premiums will probably rise. If communities are to recover from bushfires, the nation cannot put its trust in individual insurance policies, they say. And they suggest that a national policy reform is needed to ensure effective disaster preparedness and recovery for all. But more directly, my question is, when did you last review your cover? In our surveys, more than 60% of households have not reviewed their building insurance cover in the past 3 years, relying on the inflation adjustments often applied by insurance companies. But this may well not be adequate. So take time today to review your cover before it's too late. And remember, of course, that we will all be paying through higher insurance premiums in the months and years ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.